BBC Six Music Podcasts. Six Music. This is a free download from the BBC. Find out more at bbc.co.uk/sixmusic. And now, Adam and Joe.
Hey, how you doing, listeners? It's a weird show. We're not doing our special bespoke introductions this week because this is a pre-recorded show that has been used to make this podcast. So all the normal rules no longer apply, right? This is uncharted, weird territory.
Yes, we recorded this pre-record on a Thursday evening, 2 weeks before you're now listening to it approximately.
Yeah, around
about 2 weeks before it's got uploaded to the internet. And it was a peculiar affair.
It was.
We were both a little bit tired.
Yeah. Well, let's not say too much about it because we haven't heard it back yet. It might be amazing.
Could be good.
Might be absolutely amazing. It might also just be 10 minutes long. And if that's the case, that's why. You know, be careful out there. All right?
Yeah, watch out on the stairs. Hold onto the handrail and put some shoes on because you might slip in your socks.
We'll check in with you halfway through, though, for a little bit of retro text the nation.
Enjoy.
This is a podcast from the big British castle, made from a pre-recorded Adam and Joshua radiogram. It features toxic levels of ramshackulosity, so please ensure your ramble filters are installed, whatever you're called.
Have you ever been on one of those trains, right, where the toilets are like a circular? It's a big circular toilet.
And yeah, like the door to a photo developing room,
right.
The one the man in Manhunter takes the blind lady to.
Good times.
Yeah. What a great film that was.
That's right. And they've got the big curvaceous door that you have to slide around. Like the first time you used one of those, I'm assuming you have used one in your life. Mm. Did it take you like about half an hour to figure out what was going on?
For the sake of making you feel better, yes, it did.
Really, you figured it out instantaneously?
No, you know what? I don't remember.
I do.
But the fact that I don't remember probably means I got in there all right.
I had to ask someone.
Did you?
To use
you had
it.
To ask somebody.
I had to ask someone.
You better ask somebody.
To use the circular toilet.
Who did you ask?
A child. I asked the man who was just sat nearest.
Really?
Sort of, yeah. Excuse me. I'm trying to use the loo. Any idea how it works?
Describe the handle.
Well, there's no handle. There's just butons, right?
Right.
So there's a
Does one say open?
No.
No.
See? No. What they say is, well, there's a buton on the outside, which maybe says open. I'll give you that. Right? So that's the easy part.
Yeah.
You press that, bongo, the door starts sliding open. Good times. Hooray. I'm going to be doing my biz nuts very soon.
Yeah.
But then when you're inside the circular lav, that's when the problems begin because you're presented with two buttons. One says D. The other says L.
No, that's obvious.
What do they mean?
Doo-doos.
Yeah.
Lulus.
Doo-doos and leakies.
Doo-doos and leaky-loos.
Well, you...
That's the...
Of course, that's the logical...
Train language for it.
Of course, that's the logical assumption. You know, you're going in there for number one, and you press L for leakies or lulus, whatever you want to call it, right? But you would be wrong to do that because what that's doing is locking the door. And you haven't even closed the door yet. Are you still with me?
Yes.
So what you have to do is press D for door. How is that logical? So once you press D for door...
Wait, you're in there. Are you in there now?
I'm in there.
You've opened it. You've stepped inside.
Stepped inside.
You're attempting to close it.
I'm desperate.
Your choice is D and L.
D and L. I'm desperate as well.
D for desperate.
D for desperate. So you close that. You press D, finally.
Mm.
You're not quite sure what's happening. You're pressing the doors randomly, the buttons randomly. The door starts closing, but only after a very long lag after you've pressed the button, right? In fact, you're not even sure if anything's actually going to happen. So you press the button again, then the door sort of slides back open. Meanwhile, people are looking at you and thinking, you're the stupidest, one of the stupidest people ever created. And I still can't get the door. Finally, you get the door shut. You're thinking, right, how do I lock it? Obviously, you press L for lock. So you lock it. And then you have to have the whole problem. I mean, I'm making it sound...
No, it sounds unintuitive. No, it does sound unintuitive. D and L?
Yeah.
They don't teach you that as kids. They're not used anywhere else.
I don't think so.
No. You want what you want is an O and a C.
What's that for?
Open and close?
Yeah.
Yeah? Weird.
I need some really serious kind of help.
Watch out, here's another little bit. It might be wicked, it might be one of the weaker bits, but that's cool. I like weaker bits. I can handle up to three.
Right now, Joe, we've got a message that came through from a chap called Richard.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, hey there, Adam and Joe. I was wondering if you could recommend any good movies. I was thinking of some people who seem to have good taste in movies, and you two sprung to mind. Many thanks. Richard.
That's a nice email.
It is nice.
It's very good that he would think of us to recommend films. Sometimes it's hard to respond to that kind of email because of the quantity we get. Yeah. We don't get that many, but because we read them all ourselves, it takes a bit of time. So what do you think? Are you thinking we should recommend him some films?
Yeah, I reckon
he's the impression that he hasn't seen any.
None films
at all.
No.
So for someone who hasn't seen any films at all,
where would you start?
Well, you'd start with just your simple train coming towards the camera.
That one.
Because famously, historically, that had an enormous impression. Everyone thought that they were going to be squashed by the train.
So you would start with like a history of the cinema. You'd go right back to the
beginning. I just think if this guy hasn't seen films before, then it'll work on, you know, stories and characters might be too difficult for him.
Yeah.
You should start just with the visceral thrill of moving objects.
Okay.
So maybe...
Well, Mamma Mia.
Mamma Mia.
That would do the
job,
wouldn't it?
That hasn't got a story or characters.
Not really. That's just,
it's just colours and
just moving blocks.
Moving objects.
And sounds.
Yeah. I tell you what, other good films. What's another good film?
Galaxy Quest.
That's a good film. Yeah, that's a very good film.
I would start
Chitty
there,
Chitty
personally.
Bang Bang.
Yeah.
I'd go for maybe Oliver. That's good.
Would you go for Chitty Chitty Bang Bang?
Oh, that's a great film.
In what way great?
It's got good songs.
I mean, yes, that's true. There are good bits.
It's got
bits.
A flying car.
It's hard to sit through.
The dad's an inventor. I disagree. I like Chitty Chitty Bang Bang a lot.
It comes on for about 4 years.
A truly scrumptious.
That's the worst
You're
song
really
in the whole thing.
Truly scrumptious.
Do you really like that song?
Yep.
It's a disgrace.
I had the album when I was a kid.
Toot, sweets, toot, sweets.
The wonderful bit of food you can eat.
I just want to stab a pen through my neck.
I like it. Why don't they make films like that anymore?
Because I'm stopping them.
Mamma Mia.
They've been injuncted.
I like it.
It's a disgrace.
I love it.
Dave. The film Dave. With
Dave, that's all right. That's boring, really.
I caught a fish and it was this big.
I mean, it's well written, but there's nothing going on particularly interesting visually.
Whoa. That's one of the best films ever made.
Do you think?
Ivan Reitman.
I think it's a bit of a TV drama myself.
You're insane. It's
uncinematic.
It's underrated
it's brilliantly
is
written,
what it is.
Though. It's terrifically written.
Sigourney
it's
cockle
warming. Good for telly. Very good telly watch.
Yeah.
Wouldn't go out to the cinema to see that.
It's classic cinema.
Do you think?
Yes, I do. All right,
really?
Serious recommendation. Not that Dave wasn't. The Escapist.
Haven't seen that.
That's good, man. It was unusual. And it's Brian Cox plotting an escape from prison.
Yeah.
And it's very cleverly structured and plotted, nice little character. I mean, you know, it's not like the best film ever made, but it's unusually good, I would say.
I'd recommend a film. I think it's Danish, it's European. It's called The Substitute.
Right.
It's about a substitute teacher who turns up at a school who is an alien.
Oh.
It's very good.
What, a bit like The Faculty?
Yeah, but much, much, much better.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Well, The Faculty
you can only get
enjoyable.
It in America, I think.
The Substitute.
Yeah, and it's mispackaged. It's packaged like a horror film.
I'm going to write that down.
But if you order it, it looks like a sort of silly horror film. But when you get it, you realise they're just trying to flog it to horror fans because they sort of don't know what to do with it.
Yeah.
It's basically a children's film, but it's got swearing and it's quite sort of violent. And, you know, like the sort of children's films they used to make.
With know? Swearing and violence.
Yeah, well, Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom had swearing.
Oh, I see,
the
yes.
Goonies, all those 70s and 80s Spielberg
the
family
S-word.
Films. They're quite transgressive.
That's
in
true.
The way that Raiders had exploding heads that you hadn't seen, you know, that were usually in films like Scanners.
Mm.
They gave kids, you know, they gave kids slightly edgy stuff. Edgy stuff back
sure.
in those days. So that's a good recommendation, The Substitute.
Well, I've written that one down.
Yeah.
Very nice. The film Gonzo. It's a documentary about Hunter S.
Right,
Thompson,
right.
Which I read some sniffy reviews about.
Ooh.
You know, because sometimes it's a bit like the Slumdog Millionaire thing, right? Wonderful film.
Mm.
But it's weird how people make a decision to get behind something in some cases or not get behind other things, you know what I mean? And they just get totally sidelined. Like the Slumdog Millionaire, there was a kind of unconscious memo that went round. Everyone was thinking, oh, wow, I've got to get behind this. Everyone's getting behind this. I'm going to get behind it too. You know what I mean? And there was suddenly just a tidal wave. It was unstoppable and it was just winning every single award. You know what I mean? If you were one of the people who was not going to get behind it, that was a statement in itself. I'm not going to get behind Slumdog Millionaire. I didn't think it was that good. I thought it was a bit overrated, that kind of thing.
Opinions.
It becomes all about, you know, the opinions become more important than the film itself in a way.
I can see what you are up to. Ooh.
while you are listening to this podcast.
The Camden Crawl is an exciting event that you can simply find out about on the internet or on the BBC Six Music website.
The Fall are going to be playing at the Camden Crawl.
Wow.
I might go and try and bother Mark E. Smith, you know.
That's a good idea.
Because we haven't seen him since the olden days when we did a Vinyl Justice with him for the Adam and Joe show.
I'm scared of him. He tried to kill me.
He did. He put a plastic bag over
Joe's
head.
He tried to suffocate me. He didn't like me. I think it's because I told him I didn't really know his music.
It was a strange meeting. We were dressed as policemen with Nick Berry badges on and records on top of our heads, and the idea was to pretend that we were looking through M.E. Smith's music collection. However, he didn't want us to come to Manchester to do it in his real house, so we faked it up. Something that you could not do these days.
No.
We faked it up in my flat in Clerkenwell, where I used to live, and he came round to my tiny little basement flat. And we turned up there with our DVD cameras and DV cameras to do a bit of filming. And he came in and he was very well behaved for the first hour or so. He'd brought a few records with him. But then after a while, after we'd had a couple of complimentary vodkas, he got very quiet and started staring out the window and didn't want to do any more talking. And so we were trying to establish whether he was angry or what. And then after a while, he just got very cantankerous. And one of the things he did was, to amuse himself and us, I think, he put a plastic bag over Joe's head, sat him down, like forced him down onto the couch, sat on his head while he was smoking a ciggy. This was happening as well, so Joe was a little worried about being burned, apart from anything else. And then he started smacking Joe's head through the plastic bag.
Do you think it was a way of trying to show affection?
I think it might be. That's what he's like. And in his world, that's a very deep sign of affection.
Maybe he wanted to impress me.
Right.
You know, he knew you were a big fan. Yeah. He knew I was a bit indifferent.
Yeah.
So maybe he secretly wanted to win me over.
Right.
Maybe we can ask him.
So, yeah, I might go up and say hello just for old time's sake.
I wonder what mood he'll be in.
You can never tell with Mr. Smith.
Silent, furious, melancholy, violent.
He doesn't give much away.
I like to listen to Adam and Joe, but I listen to the podcast, not the live show. I used to feel acute frustration, because I couldn't join in with Text the Nation. But now my troubles have disappeared, because Retro Text the Nation's here. And now my letter might be read out, instead of thrown in the trash and forgotten about.
It's time for Retro Text the Nation, listeners, but it's a peculiar one this week because in our latest show, of course, we didn't have any kind of features or interactivity, so we don't have any retro texts.
No, so we're going retro, retro.
We're going double retro.
Yeah.
We're
going
to refer back to the Text the Nation of 2 weeks ago about things you did to be cool and maybe read you some of the ones we didn't have time to read in last week's podcast. Did that make sense?
That made total sense, man.
Logic assault.
You know, that was one of my favourite bits of radio.
Here's an email we got from a listener who goes by the name of Ben from Sheffield. Dear Adam and Joe, I remember when I was 16, my friends dared me to go to a petrol station and buy some adult magazines, aka Grumble Mags. At about 3 o'clock in the morning, since I'm a vicar's son, this was quite rebellious for me, but I agreed. Yeah. I was considered cool. But it backfired 2 weeks later when police arrived at my parents' house asking to talk to me. There had been a taxi driver murdered in the area that night, and they'd studied the CCTV footage of the petrol station, and they wanted to know what my friends were doing there at such an hour. I tried to say that we'd just stopped by to buy a Cornish pasty, but they had the receipt roll. How embarrassing. It was awful. I never did it again.
The Jazz Mag murders.
I mean, that's an amazing sort of convergence of situations there. A vicar's son daring to buy the Grumble Mags, local murder in the area, police source not just the CCTV footage, but the till receipt and turn up at the parents' house.
And the vicar's
house. Like some kind of Martin Scorsese film, isn't it?
Yeah, that's
ludicrous.
Or
some Coen Brothers, like, dovetailing of random
I know, you
plot
wouldn't,
lines.
You wouldn't believe it if you saw it on the screen.
Ben, that's extraordinary. Our hearts go out to you.
However, you are cool, though.
Yeah, you are cool. That's the coolest thing probably anyone's ever done.
Yeah.
Jeremy from Berkhamsted says, I was a pretentious little turd in the sixth form and fancied myself as a country gent. I once wore a silver watch chain. that went into the breast pocket of a tweed... Sorry, we're laughing at pretentious little turd. We can't get beyond that. I once wore a silver watch chain that went into the breast pocket of a tweedy sports jacket. I didn't have a watch on the end of it because I couldn't afford one. I had a silver toothpick, which I thought was quite rakish.
That is rakish.
I was quite rightly ridiculed for it and went back to the reality of being a nerdy bloke from a semi on a 60s housing estate.
I don't think there's anything wrong with having pretentious clothing ambitions of any kind, you know what I mean?
I know it's wrong to put people down for dressing flamboyantly because the world is it would be a dull place without them.
That's right.
It's not a crime to bring a bit of flamboyance or eccentricity.
Absolutely.
In a way it's a crime to just be a cookie cutter.
To be normal.
Normal.
Just
person.
Wearing what everyone else is wearing.
Yeah.
Yeah, get those piercings out your nose and sort your jeans out.
You should dress crazy like Adam and I do in jeans and
clown costumes,
trainers and t-shirts. That's right. That kind of crazy thing.
I can't even wear t-shirts anymore, you know. I've got to that stage. I've had to kiss them goodbye unless I'm doing painting.
Here's one from Dan in Cardiff. Hi, Adam and Joe. I used to try to impress the cool boys in French class who used to talk about the 18 film and video nasties they would watch. Mm. As my mum and dad restricted family viewing to anything that wouldn't upset my younger brother, the most dangerous thing we used to watch was that Narnia thing with the lion with four knees. Because lions only would have two knees. What's he going on about?
What the heck is he on
anyway,
about?
Anyway, so I decided to make up films that were banned because they were so bad. The best I could come up with was Mega Killer, which my friends instantly knew was fake and questioned me repeatedly about what happens in it for weeks. As I had made the ludicrous claim that the Mega Killer kills a million people in the film, I had to think of some outlandish ways of achieving this to maintain credibility. The best thing I could come up with was that he blew up a roller coaster. I don't think this even impressed the 12-year-olds who were into Five Star and Foster's Menswear. You don't really get a lot of roller coasters that can take a million people at
one
a time.
One day you will.
Will you?
And what a roller coaster that'll
wow.
be.
Wow.
But then, of course, that's
it'll
been...
be very short. It'll just shunt a meter.
Yeah.
Then
it's
you'll
been
get off.
Dealt with, of course, in the film...
Final Destination 3.
And Roller Coaster
yeah.
with Timothy Bottoms. That was a good film. That had Sparks playing in it.
Did it?
An appearance by the band Sparks playing from their now deleted album Big Beat.
Here's another one from Sam. Hi, Adam and Joe. I once pretended to be a black belt in karate when I worked in a Spanish bar on my gap year. Big mistake, as a fellow bartender from a neighbouring bar was a genuine black belt. Needless to say, when hearing of my supposed skill level, he thought nothing of mounting a surprise attack that someone of my caliber should easily be able to defend. Alas, my lack of karate training was exposed for all my colleagues to see. I left for England soon after.
A surprise attack? What kind of person is he? He's like Kato or
exactly,
something.
From the Pink Panther.
That's irresponsible of the other bloke, though, isn't it?
Not really.
You
if you
just
say you're a black belt.
No, come on. You don't launch surprise attacks. I thought it was a defensive art anyway.
That's true.
Karate.
Here's another one from Phil from Stockport. Dear Adam and Joe, in the mid-80s, I had a friend and neighbour with whom I competed furiously within everything. We were locked in a war of one-upmanship that was amazingly petty. One summer, he started wearing a white wristband and a tennis shirt that Wimbledon champion Ivan Lendl had worn. He started getting positive feedback from our friends, which made me mad with rage. So, on my birthday, taking the tennis template, I got a tennis t-shirt, tight white shorts, two wristbands, and a headband, and sunglasses, and I finished it off with white socks and a grey sweater that I draped around my shoulders. I wore my in-your-face outfit for 4 weeks, not joining in with any games played on the street, because if I got my white outfit dirty, my mum wouldn't let me out in it the next day.
Yeah.
Phil from Stockport. And he accompanies that with an extraordinary photograph of himself in his
gear.
You know, one-upmanship tennis gear that maybe we can try and put on the website if you can dig it out, because it's terrific.
Yeah.
I mean, no one can compete with that level of tennis gear. That's it for Retro Text the Nation.
Retro Text the Nation, even.
Next week, we'll be back to the conventional Retro Text the Nation.
Yeah, which was, what was it about? It was about, oh yes, bad auditions, stroke, job interviews that you've had.
Yeah, only that will then be 2 weeks old. So that'll also be a Retro Text the Nation, won't it?
Yeah, but then after that, we will have caught up.
Oh, who knows? It's like Back to the Future. It's like time travel. You can't work it out. It's a wormhole.
It's like Lost.
Oh. Yeah, something will be happening anyway.
Yeah, it'll be good. Right, now back to our strange pre-record.
You needed cheering up because you were feeling rather low, but now you're doing brilliant thanks to Adam and to Joe and their podcast.
was on the train the other day, right? And this lady, she reached up to the luggage rack to retrieve her newspaper or something. She was elderly. And the fellow sitting on the chair across the aisle, who was absolutely a big fat man, right? And there's no question about it.
Yeah.
He wouldn't be upset if I said
the
that.
The elderly and the fat.
Yeah. And their new band. What are you writing down?
I don't know. They just seem like good targets.
They're not targets. They happen to come into this conversation.
I'm joking, of course.
Well, you've made me look like I'm targeting the elderly and the fat, which I'm absolutely not.
Cut this bit out.
Says Joe, thinking, this is a pre-record. We can lose in the embarrassing stuff. Mm. So the fellow sitting across on the other side of the aisle, who was, let me say, a portly gentleman. He was massively fat. He gets up, right? And he very nicely says, oh, let me help you with that, to the lady. And so he reaches up for the newspaper. He reaches over her, right? So that the lady has to lean right back in her seat to avoid his massive belly, which has spilled out from his T-shirt that he was wearing, right? The T-shirt just rode right up over his huge belly. And he was shoving it right in this woman's face while he was reaching for the paper. She was going, no, no, it's okay. It's okay. I can get it. No, no, that's all right. Let me help you.
Nice sound effect.
That was the sound of
maybe
a big belly.
Maybe you know, volunteers for jobs like that.
Yeah.
Because it gives him a bit of physical contact.
Maybe. He seemed like a really nice man. But he wasn't bothered at all about the... I mean, I'm not saying he should necessarily be bothered about his body size, but it just seemed pretty wild, you know, that he would be so unfussed by his shirt riding up and just him doing this massive sexy belly dance on this old lady. Sting! Now, Joe, I don't know if you know this, but there's a podcast available of this program.
Really?
Yeah. And it comes out on a Tuesday morning. I think it has to go through rigorous checks for a couple of days. And when it comes out, it is delightfully received by many thousands of listeners. And we are very grateful for that fact.
I didn't know that.
However, Steve in Vancouver is not quite so happy.
I don't like the sound of this.
How do you do a Vancouver accent?
Like this. I laugh from Vancouver.
You say a boot, don't you? I think you do. I can only listen to the podcast version of the show being in Vancouver.
Well, hang on, that's just Tom Paulin. Or, no, Mark Cousins.
Is it?
No, it's good though. Keep going.
Mark Cousins is like this. I can only listen to the podcast version of the show. No, I'm not going to do an accent. He says, I can only listen to the podcast version of the show being in Vancouver. One thing I notice about your show and BBC shows in general is the lack of audio compression. A lot of people think that lots of dynamic range is a good thing. How do you feel about that, Joe?
I don't have a strong opinion, but keep reading.
But it's a pain when you're listening to an iPod via a car radio. When the two of you are feigning the sharing of a secret, for example, or something like that, your conversations get down to a whisper, like now, for example.
Yeah.
And to hear anything on the radio, the volume has to be high up. Then one of you shouts, like this, and the car windows are blown out. I'm sure both of you are completely familiar with compression, but to illustrate, and he sent us like a load of clips from recent shows that he's added various bits of different types of compression to illustrate what he's talking about. He's even sent graphs and waveforms.
Wow. I didn't click on the... I read that email. I didn't click on the links, but you obviously did, and they're things he's specially devised for us.
Well, he's just illustrating that we could benefit from a bit of compression.
A bit more compression.
But I think it's out of our hands, Steve. You know, that's BBC policy, perhaps, not to do compression like that. I'm really sorry about that.
I think it's completely out of our hands!
There goes Steve's windows again.
Yeah.
That was a little fun fact, though, for compression queens out there, if you're sat there.
Compression queens, poor old Steve.
No, you know, I'm a bit of a compression queen. I used to get really upset about it in the early days of doing this show when the levels were wrong. I used to have
sometimes
some.
The levels are different. Sometimes they're different between mics. Some weeks I'm really loud and you're really quiet, and I just want myself to shut up.
I get
it. But that's not to in any way diminish the extraordinary work of our producers, who do everything within their power to make it sound as well as good as possible.
How do you feel about compression, Ben?
There you go. That's better. He just decompressed. He's had a massive release of compression and like a balloon, and he's sunk in a...
Don't bring up compression when Ben's around. He absolutely detests it. So sorry, Steve, in Vancouver. We can't help you.
Yeah. It's Adam and Joe. We were born on the street. That's what this podcast is basically about. Various different kinds of streets. Streets where you do your shopping. The streets inside your mind. Streets where you're looking for a penny. But in the end, it's a turd that you find.
A few weeks ago on the show, I was ranting about litter. I wish to talk about it again, do a litter update. Because, Joe, I had my first successful litter confrontation.
Really?
With some utes.
Ute.
And I fear utes, right? Mm-hmm. Everyone sensible fears children
I don't.
Of a certain age.
You know? I like them.
Well, you should fear them because, you know, they wear hoodies and they're a threat to society. Obviously, I'm joking. I'm doing a clever parody
right,
of people's
the truth is you like them.
Attitudes.
I'm afraid of them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. But I was at Cambridge Station the other day on my way home to Norfolk after the show. And there were some young people, I would say, aged... It was a gang of around 10, right?
Mm-hmm.
10 young people, aged between about 11
Four
and...
And 2.
Well, no, but they were quite young. They were aged between about 11 and 16. But still, fairly right on the cusp of being sort of quite intimidating, especially as a big gang.
11.
No. They were around 11 to 16.
Right.
And
12.
There was a lot of them... Subcommander. Arms torpedo.
No. I'm just trying to make it seem like a less threatening situation in my head.
They were not only dropping litter, they were throwing it in a sort of kind of with a flourish, a cavalier flourish.
Enjoying the throwing of litter.
Enjoying the littering.
Ugh.
And so I watched it for a little bit and I just thought, oh, this is too much, you know, this is too much to bear. And I missed the first, like, I missed the opportunity to say something after the first couple of times because the litter was blowing all over the platform, onto the tracks and stuff like that. And I thought, oh, I've got to say something because this is just flagrant, outrageous littering. And it is so depressing to see that.
What did you say?
So after a while, this guy, I waited till one of the really small ones did it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went up and I said, hey, why are you just throwing that away onto the track there? Why don't you just put it in the bin? What are you doing? Immediately, they all go quiet and they all look at this one guy to see how he's going to respond, right? And he sort of looks around and he's a bit rattled and... He sort of tries to ignore me. So I go, hey, I'm talking to you. Why do you have to... And I tried not to be aggressive, right? Mm-hmm. You want to embarrass the guy.
Yep.
I said, why are you throwing your litter down there? Don't do that. Someone else has got to pick it up. What makes you so special that you can just throw things on the ground and then someone else has to come and pick them up? Why are you so special? So he looks at his mates and then he turns to me and goes, because I'm the king's son.
And that's a good answer.
It's a good comeback.
Yeah.
And I said to him, well, that's a very good answer. However, you're not the king's son, and the fact is that someone else does have to pick it up.
That's disappointing. I would have thought you could have come back with something wittier, like...
What would you have gone for?
Well, all right, Prince William, get off your hockey horse.
Right. My wits weren't functioning at full capacity
right.
because I was quite nervous, you know. I was a little keyed up. But then one of the guys, and like there was a lot of girls who were looking around and they weren't so happy about it. They were the lippiest about it, right? They said, well, that's what they pay cleaners for to me. And I said, you don't really believe that. That's a stupid thing to say. They pay cleaners to pick up litter after jerks have thrown litter around. You're not a jerk, right? I was trying to get with the kids.
Yeah.
She wasn't sure, but another guy, like sitting a bit further back, said to his mate, the original guy that I'd spoke to, he said, come on, just pick it up and put it in the bin.
Yes.
And at that point, I knew I was home free,
Yep. Well, that's a sensible kid. Good kid.
Yeah.
But I think the truth is there's a lot less litter than there used to be when we were kids. Do you remember in the 70s, London in the 70s was like a giant...
Yeah, well, there was a strike.
...trash heap. Yeah, but throughout, it was a grottier place. And generally, things are a bit better now.
I suppose.
But still, it's bad to throw litter, kids. And if you do throw litter, then who knows? Adam Buxton might come out and challenge you to some sort of a verbal throwdown.
Adam and Joe. Nipples.
Adam, you know I'm doing a little bit of, or attempting to do some screenwriting.
Oh, yeah.
As a sort of hobby kind of thing.
Hmm.
I've just come up with some ideas of maybe some lines that I wanted to run by you to use in an action film.
Good idea. I've got lots of lines I could give you.
Have you? Well, can I try some of mine?
Yes, I'd love to.
I thought
to hear
maybe the characters in the film are at a critical point and there's no time to lose to take action, and my idea is one character says, let's do this,
I like it.
How do you like that?
I really like
Let's
it.
Let's do this.
Yeah.
Yep. And then...
Let's do this.
Yeah, and then the other character says, go, go, go.
I would have him say it more than that.
What, four goes?
More goes.
Go, go, go. No, go, no. Go, go, go.
Seven times.
Seven times.
Yeah, so let's try
One,
it.
One, two, three, okay.
Let's do this!
Go, 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 go. I laughed, I'm sorry. I couldn't put it on.
You ruined the drama.
Yeah. But that seems to work, that seems to flow.
You do it, you do the let's do this.
All right, let's do this!
Go, 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 go!
That's very British and military sounding. This is an American film.
Okay, do it again, do it again.
And plus, it's not. It just needs to be more felt.
All right, let's. I can do it. I can do it.
Let's do this.
Go, 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 go.
That works. Okay, and then my idea for the next line is there are several people in the scene. So let's do this. Go, 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 go. Then the other character says, "Move." Yep, move,
because it adds more urgency.
Yeah, well, they've really got to get going and move and
really,
do it.
I like it.
And then they do it, the thing that they're supposed to be doing. And then the characters, they encounter some kind of thing or or event that they don't understand.
Some kind of thing or event.
Yeah, I'm just keeping it vague because I'm not quite sure of the story
yet. Is this
yet.
How you write screenplays?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But
they encounter some kind of thing yeah. or event.
That would be action. That wouldn't be dialogue. They encounter a thing or an event, but they don't know what it is. So one of them says, "What the hell's this?" Or another line I had there was for someone to say, "Can someone tell me what the hell's going on?"
That's a very good line.
Mm.
Is this stuff you're getting off Spielberg?
No, this is stuff I've made up.
Oh, right.
Yeah, and then... It goes wrong, and so my idea for the character, for the dialogue when yeah. it goes wrong, is one of the characters, probably the person that said, let's do this at the beginning,
yeah.
says, let's get out of here.
I like it.
Because he's the demonstrative mm-hmm. one. He's the one that he's the leader.
You know what? I think you're missing a trick there. I love...
Right. I got one more.
I love what's going on, did you say?
Yeah. Can someone tell me what's going on? Can someone tell me what's going on?
Yes.
And then, let's get out of here. And then the other idea I had was, what the hell was that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Could someone please tell me what the hell is going on here?
Yes.
How about that?
Yes. And of course, if you could swear, all those lines would be much better because you'd put swearing in there as well.
Could someone please hecking tell me what the ruddy heck yes. is going on?
Let's do this. Go, 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 go. Move. What the hell's this? Can someone tell me what's going on? Let's get out of here. What the hell was that?
What the hell?
That's a good scene, though, isn't it, Ben?
That's a very good scene.
I mean, that's all you really need for a scene.
Yeah.
Well, that's good dialogue. It's full of character.
It's got a thing or event.
It's very driven.
That's brilliant, man. I mean, thanks. I'm excited to see some of your films when they get made. I'm really looking forward to it.
Nice book. Nice old book. Yeah. Nice book. Nice liquor book.
On your bookshelves, right?
Yeah.
Have you got a lot of books there that you haven't read?
Well, some of them are owned by my lady girlfriend, partner, cohabitee
right.
friend.
I've got a load of books
really?
On my
bookshelves. Have you just bought them because they look good?
No, a lot of them I get given them. Christmas presents or whatever.
A lot of them you get given them.
Yeah, that's a good sentence. What's yeah, wrong with that? That's right, a brilliant
maybe you
sentence.
Should read some more of the books.
A lot of them I get given them.
Then you wouldn't be constructing sentences like that.
Of like a lot of them, yeah, I'm like, get given them.
So what's the probs? I mean, I think it's probably fine. You know, chicks come around, they look at all the books, they think you've read them.
Mm.
Bish, bash, bosh.
Have you ever got busted by someone going up and saying, "Oh yeah, the sports writer, that's brilliant. Have you? Did you like chapter 6?
No, that's never happened.
I live in fear of it happening.
Do you?
I live in fear of someone coming around and pointing out a book and going, "Oh, that's a marvellous book. I particularly enjoyed."
Right. Yeah. People would appreciate your honesty if you just told them that you'd never read it.
Really?
Nah, it's never read show.
It. But then it would happen a lot if they went through some of the other books. Nah,
really?
I haven't read that one either.
Are they there just for show?
Yeah.
Really?
Certainly that's why I keep a lot of them. Well, you know, the thing is that I certainly keep the ones I've read.
Mm.
Definitely, you know, with the well-worn spines and everything, I'm very proud of them. They're like trophies.
Mm.
Yeah, they're like trophies.
Mm.
You know what I mean? To prove that
you've read a
that
book.
I can read books. And I would never get rid of them, even though there's, in a lot of cases, very little chance that I'll read them again, either because they're too boring or, that you know, I'd rather be reading a new book.
Mm.
What's the most exciting book you've got that you haven't read on your shelf?
Well, that's a very good question. I'm excited you asked it. And it would have to be probably... Ooh, can I have some thinking time?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you that mine is The Sports Writer, right? Which I may have mentioned earlier on.
Is that written by Richard Price?
Is it?
Is it? I don't know. Is it? He wrote Crocus, didn't he? I'll look it up. You keep talking.
You look it up. I was given it by my brother-in-law, right?
Right.
And he always gives me really good books. He gave me Shantaram the year before, which I really enjoyed. And so he's given me The Sports Writer. But I just think, yeah, but it's about sports writers. I don't even like any aspect of sport really that much. So I find it quite difficult to plunge into quite a big book.
Richard Ford. Price.
There you go. Even though it is garlanded with praise and people tell me it's wonderful and I really trust the taste of my brother-in-law. But, you know, there just never seems to be the right moment to dive into The Sports Writer.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, that's all right. Just think of it as an ornamental book.
Yeah.
Or have you ever thought about just sort of damaging the spine as if it's been read?
I have thought about
opening and closing it.
Yeah.
Not just in one place. Otherwise, that means you were looking for the pictures in the middle.
You know, I've thought about it to the extent that I would even read it in the bath.
Really? So it looked a bit...
I would flick through it in the bath.
You see, that's the sign of a book you've read.
Yeah.
Crumpled sleeve, slightly sort of wet but now dried
water
paper.
Water damage, yeah.
And to me, it's always a little bit of orange... juice. You know, you've been eating an orange while you're reading.
Say mucus.
Some of it sprayed on the book.
Sure.
That's the key thing. Then you've definitely read it. Then you can say you've read it and just forgotten it. Oh, I read so much, I've forgotten.
Mm.
I forget what that one was about, but I do remember it was brilliant.
I find it very hard to recall. Maybe it's the way that I read. I find it very hard to recall what's actually going on in the book sometimes. I mean, they do say that reading is a far more efficient way of gathering information and keeping it in your head than, for example, watching TV, right? Mm. Not for me. I don't know. It goes in one ear and out the other eye.
Well, weird way for it to go. You've got medical problems and I'd see a doctor or have that eye test that you were going on about the other week.
I got a free one.
Oh.
And that's the end of this week's podcast. Now here's a goodbye link.
Thank you. You've been wonderful. Throw me your dirty pants. I'll wash them and get them back to you. Thank you.
Well, that's the end of this pre-recorded podcast. All podcasts are pre-recorded, but this was a podcast of a pre-recorded show, which is trying to excuse the fact that that might have been an unusual programme with rough edges and exhaustion and some hysteria.
Yeah. But we put a couple of new things. We got a new jingle for this podcast, and there's a new introductory jingle for the podcast as well.
And variety's good. You know, you can't have peaks without troughs.
No.
You can't have pigs. You can't keep pigs unless you've got troughs.
Mm.
On that basis, to do a slightly peculiar podcast is all right.
If you're a pig.
If you're a couple of pigs,
if you're a
snuffling
couple of pigwigs
in some troughs.
Which is what we are.
Yeah.
So listen, folks, have a good week. We'll be back with you live next week.
And thanks for listening.
Yeah, have a good week. Bye.
Bye.
If you enjoyed the Adam and Joe podcast, then why not try the John Richardson podcast? Download it now. bbc.co.uk/6music.
Oh, man, that's ruined your month,
it really
isn't
it? Has ruined my self-image.
Ah, oh, come on, you're a good-looking man.
Yeah, but not in that photo.
That was a long time ago as well. You've got better-looking since then.
Really?
Yeah.
In truth, I've got even older and saggier.
We're all getting older and saggier. It doesn't matter. Ooh, that was the wrong thing. That was the wrong thing to say, wasn't it? You wanted me to be in denial. We're getting younger, man. It's cool. We're getting younger.
I'm getting younger.
No, listen, it was all going wrong for a bit, but we're all getting a bit younger now.
Yeah, I think, yeah. Let's not talk about it anymore.
Okay.